1951. Classic text for all ladies, young ladies, not as young ladies, mothers, not mothers. just a good text. It's a classic text, maybe the main text in all the Bible for women. Verse 10, of course, asks the famous question, Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In other words, she is a treasure. She is very, very valuable. She's a very rare thing, a virtuous woman. Her price is far above rubies. The following verses then describe her. Would you go on down through all of that? We're going to look at all those verses, but I want us to go down to verse number 28 and read the last few verses of this chapter in reference to the virtuous woman. Verse 28 says, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let her own works praise her in the gates. This chapter about the virtuous woman is primarily attentive to her own works, and these works praise this virtuous woman. And so I want us to go through this. Before I do, I want to read a little article I got out of the Victory Baptist Press this week. I thought it was kind of neat. It's similar to the other one I read. A woman named Emily, who was renewing her driver's license at the county clerk's office, was asked by the woman recorder to state her occupation. She hesitated, uncertain how to classify herself. What I mean is, explained the recorder, do you have a job or are you just a... Of course I have a job, snapped Emily. I'm a mom. We don't list mom as an occupation. Housewife covers it, the recorder said emphatically. I forgot all about her story until one day I found myself in the same situation, this time at our own town hall. The clerk obviously was a career woman, poised, efficient, and possessed of a high-sounding title like official interrogator or town registrar. What is your occupation, she probed. And she said, what made me say it? I do not know. The word simply popped out. I am a research associate in the field of child development and human relations. The clerk paused, ballpoint pen frozen in midair, and looked up as though she had not heard right. I repeated the title slowly, emphasizing the most significant words. Then I stared with wonder as my pronouncement was written in bold black ink on the official questionnaire. Might I ask, said the clerk with new interest, just what you do in your field? Coolly, without any trace of fluster in my voice, I heard myself reply, I have a continuing program of research, parentheses, what mother doesn't, in the laboratory and in the field. Normally, I would say outdoors and in. I'm working for my master's, or again, our parentheses, they're the whole family, and already have 4 credits, all daughters. Of course, the job is one of the most demanding in the humanities. Her parenthetical question, any mother care to disagree? And I often work 14 hours a day, parentheses 24 is more like it. But the job is more challenging than most run-of-the-mill careers, and the rewards are more of satisfaction rather than just money. There was an increasing note of respect in the clerk's voice as she completed the form, stood up, and personally ushered me to the door. As I drove into our driveway, buoyed up by my glamorous new career, I was greeted by my lab assistants, ages 13, 7, and 3. Upstairs, I could hear our new experimental model, a 6-month-old baby, in the child development program testing out a new vocal pattern. I felt I had scored a beat on bureaucracy, and I had gone on the official records as someone more distinguished and indispensable to mankind than, quote, just another mom. Motherhood is her conclusion. What a glorious career, especially when there's a title on the door. Does this make grandmothers senior research associates in the field of child development and human relations? And then great grandmothers would be executive senior research associates? I guess it also makes aunts associate research assistants. So there you go. Happy research associate in the field of child development and human relations day. Ladies, that's you. All right. Hope you enjoy that. Proverbs chapter 31, the virtuous woman. I want you to notice several things about her works. It covers a whole lot of ground. We're going to go very quickly, just kind of point out some things, not dwell on any of them. First of all, notice her work with her husband. Verse number 11, this is the first thing when it talks about the virtuous woman and her value. The first thing it mentions is her husband and his heart. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. So that she'll have no need of, he shall have no need of spoil. No need of spoil essentially would mean to us today, he don't have to get a second job just to keep up with her spending habits. That's the idea there. All righty. So he trusts her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She does her husband good. She is a great help to him. Of course, that's what women were created to be, a help. And that she is a great help to her husband, good and not evil. She not only does not hurt him, she does help him in a great way all the days of her life. Verse 23 refers to her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. The gates is where the city business was conducted and so forth. And that's where the commerce and the business and all that kind of stuff takes place. So her husband is known in the community. He has a good reputation amongst the leadership of the community, again, because she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse number 28 refers to her husband. We read it. Her husband also rises up and he praiseth her. So her virtue is seen in her work. With her husband, she is a good wife. By the way, every good mother is, first of all, of necessity, must be a good wife. All righty. She takes care of her husband. All righty. Number two, her household. Notice what it says about her household. In other words, her whole family. All righty. Her household is mentioned several times. Verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. And a portion to her maidens. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse number 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and her children, which again makes up her household, arise up and call her blessed. So her attention is given to her husband and to her family. She is a virtuous woman. You notice in all of these verses that we're going to go through, and we're going to talk about that here in just a moment, but in everything that she does, all of her works, she is not a career woman. She is not a woman who is ignoring her husband, ignoring her family, and pursuing a career at the expense of anything and everybody. She's not that. She's a virtuous woman. And that's one of the things identifying her as such. I want you to notice not only her husband and her household, but notice specifically some things about herself. All righty. Notice several references in here to her hands. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. That's one of those things in weaving and spinning and stuff like that. verse number 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That's the wrong verse. Verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands. Can't see the difference between 21 and 31. Give her the fruit of her hands. The fruit of her hands. The results of what her hands work willingly with. All righty? And so, verse 17 talks about her physical strength. She's physically strong. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. I don't think that we are supposed to get the picture that she goes to the gym every day, pumps iron, and works out, and she's a real he-woman, or whatever that would be. She-woman? What would you call her? All right. She's not one of those, but she is physically strong. It's amazing how strong some women can be, especially when they smack you. But anyway, she's physically strong. You know the reference to her mouth in verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. All right? She's a nice lady. But notice also her schedule. She's got to be strong. Notice her schedule. Verse 15, she rises also while it is yet night. In other words, sun hadn't come up yet. She's up early, probably before the chickens. And notice verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise again, her candle goeth not out by night. In other words, she's up late. She's burning the candle at both ends and in the middle too, probably. But she is a busy, hard working. She worketh willingly with her hands. Verse number 13 says, verse number 27 says, she eateth not the bread of idleness. That is not her. She is never idle. She's always busy, and she's busy from early morning to late night. She is busy all the way through. Literally, that little joke thing about there are no breaks, that's pretty much true. Very little break, if any at all. I want you to notice as you go through chapter 31 about this virtuous woman, notice several skills that she has. All right, notice several skills. Number one, she has sewing skills or seamstress skills. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, or her hands hold the distaff. That has to do with spinning and making fabric and cloth and stuff like that. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She knows how to make clothes for herself. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. All righty. So she has sewing skills, seamstress skills. Notice that she is she's good in the food service industry. Verse 14, she's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. All righty. She knows how to get the groceries in. All right. I take that to mean she's good at grocery shopping and getting good deals and stretching a dollar and pinching a nickel. She knows how to do that. And she brings her food from far, and she knows what to do with it. She gives meat to her household, verse 15. Says, and a portion to her maidens. She, in other words, she provides the meals. She knows how to cook. She knows how to gather the food and cook it. All righty, prepare it. She knows how to plant things. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. So she knows how to plant things and grow things and so forth like that. So we see her food service skills, her gardening, farming, cooking, grocery shopping skills. She's good with business. You know, she's good at real estate. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. She can do that. She can make good judgments and valuations on things like that. She can make good business decisions. She makes fine linen and sells it, delivers girdles to the merchant. She has great business skills. She's not in a career, but she does work willingly and long hours, and is good in the matter of business. She has assessing skills. You might serve as an assessor because she has the perception to evaluate things. Verse number 18 says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She can rate the quality of it and assess the value of it. And so that's a skill that she had. She is very generous. She is a philanthropist, if you want to use a fancy word for it. Verse number 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So she takes care of others. She's very generous and giving to folks that are legitimately in need. All righty. Now, we talked about all those things. We just mentioned them. We go quickly through all those things. There's two other things about the virtuous woman that I want to especially dwell on that are obviously much more important than these skills that she have. Obviously, those things are great. And if you've got a wife or a mother that can do all those things, if you are a wife or mother that can do all those things, glory to God. And thank the Lord for that. But being able to do all those things without these other things takes away from the virtue. All righty. This is what really qualifies her more so as a virtuous woman. You see, the statement was in verse number 29, many daughters have done virtuously. In other words, with all of these virtuous skills, a lot of folks can cook, and a lot of folks can buy groceries, and a lot of folks can sew, and a lot of folks can do this, that, and the other, and all this other kind of stuff. But not a lot of folks have the personal character that this woman has, and not a lot of folks have the testimony that this woman has, and that's what I want us to look at for the rest of this message in just a few minutes here. I want you to notice when we consider this virtuous woman's personal character that all of these descriptions of this virtuous woman is it's all about others before herself. Others first. She does not put herself first. She doesn't sit and whine and want to be waited on hand and foot. It's not about her. It's about others, beginning with her husband and then extending to her children and her maidens. And then the community and the poor and the needy and all of that kind of stuff. But it's always somebody else other than her. That is a character trait, all right? That's not necessarily a skill as much as that is the quality of her character. That's what makes one of the things that makes this woman so valuable and so rare that elevates her price above rupees is the fact she is not all about herself. She has not bought into the modern-day mentality of loving yourself and being entitled to everything, and it's all about you, and you live in an egocentric world that revolves entirely around you and what you want and what you like and how people should treat you and what everybody should do for you and all this other kind of stuff. That's not her. That is not her. She is an others-first person. Her personal character again, includes her diligence. We referred to the fact that she worketh willingly with her hands. She doesn't work begrudgingly. She don't work with a bad attitude. She don't work with a feel sorry for herself attitude. Woe is me, you know, why do I have to work? I know somebody else, you know, and they blah, 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 you know. And she don't have that attitude. She don't have that heart. She's a very diligent. Diligent is a noble, virtuous quality of character, being diligent. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? Proverbs chapter 22 says, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. And the reference is not just to men, it's to anybody that's diligent. Diligent means responsible. It means dependable. It means doing what you're supposed to do and doing it the way that you're supposed to do it. And that's her. She is diligent. She does not eat the bread of idleness, even when she probably should slow down and rest. She's just busy. She's diligent. All righty. That's just part of her character. Notice her character includes wisdom. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. All right. Now, we've studied Proverbs for the last several months now on our Wednesday night service. And in the first nine chapters of Proverbs, we noted the importance of wisdom. And the plain statement of chapter 4, verse 7 is that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Well, this woman's got it. She has wisdom. Wisdom is defined in our study as seeing things the way God sees things. Looking at things the way God looks at it. Seeing it from God's point of view. Having God's mind about it. Whatever terminology you want to use, it's being in agreement and seeing it the way that God sees it. And of course, that's through the Bible. And so when she opens her mouth, what flows out is wisdom. All righty? Because she has discerned and perceived not only that her merchandise is good, she's also perceived and discerned how that the Lord sees things and what God's point of view is about things. And she has believed that, acted upon that. She has got wisdom herself, and her life is based upon that and lived on that. And when she opens her mouth, it just comes out, wisdom. She's a woman that that you want to listen to. I know women have a reputation for talking all the time. Some men are not too far behind. No, a few of them maybe might even be a little bit ahead. But but the thing about this woman is she's got something to say. She's one of those women, when she talks, you best be listening. All righty? Because she opens her mouth with wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. This is a very nice lady. She's not sharp with her tongue. She's kind. She's not bossy and demanding, overbearing with her tongue. She's not nagging. She's not one of those contentious women that the Bible tells you men that you'd be better off to go on a perpetual camping trip to have than to dwell with a contentious and an angry woman. That's not her. She opens her mouth. Wisdom comes out, and it shows up with the law of kindness. All righty? She's a nice lady. She may have to tell her household a few things, but she can tell them in a kind way. She may have to help her husband with some things that he needs help with, but she can do it in a kind way. All righty? dealing with the community and everything else like that. Everybody, her entire family, everybody she knows, whoever she deals with, in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's a law with her. No matter what she has to do, no matter what she has to say, she will operate by the law of kindness. This is what dictates how I am going to deal with this. This is how I'm going to approach it, no matter what it is, no matter how unpleasant it is, no matter how tough it is for somebody to hear this, especially her children or her husband, I'm going to present it kindly. All righty? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. She's just a nice lady. All righty? Now, she's a strong lady, but she's a very nice lady. She is strong, you notice, verse number 25, strength and honor are her clothing. I mean, she just dresses herself up with strength. And she's a very honorable woman. She has some dignity to her. She's not a slob. All righty? She doesn't look like somebody off the street or somebody on the street. Maybe we ought to put it that way. All righty? She dresses in an honorable way. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. There's some dignity to her. She's a lady. She's a refined lady. She's a dignified lady. She's a strong and honorable lady. That's how she presents herself, because that's the kind of woman that she is. Very rare. Very valuable. Very unique. Very different. Very virtuous. Personal character is seen in others first, in her diligence, in her wisdom, in her kindness, and in her honor, just in the very way that she presents herself. All righty? And then I want to talk about one more thing about this woman that is so rare and so valuable. I want to talk about her testimony, what others think of her, what others think about her. You could call it a person's reputation, which essentially is what others think. Her character is what she is, and her reputation is what others think she is. Generally, if you'll take care of your character, your reputation will follow. You can lose your reputation and not lose your character, But you can't lose your character without losing your reputation also. Joseph, back in Genesis, Jacob's son, he was a man of extremely high character. But man, his reputation was completely butchered when people lied about him and accused him of things. And he spent several years of his life in jail because people just flat out lied about him. And everybody thought he was a horrible, awful man, a criminal. The fact of the matter is, he was the godliest man on the planet at that time. And God knew it, and God blessed him, not because of his reputation. God blessed him because of his character. This virtuous woman is a woman of character. But that character is what establishes then the reputation that she has, her testimony, what others think. We noted, verse 31, her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, her life and all that she has given herself to her husband and her family, and her works and her character and everything, all of that speaks for itself. It all speaks for itself. It really doesn't have to have anybody else point it out. There it is, right for everybody to see. She doesn't go promoting herself. We noted that. She's not about herself. But her testimony is simply the result, the fruits of her hands. And it's her own works. It's what she has done and the way that she has lived. And so her works speak for herself, and that's the reason that her children, verse 28 says, rise up and call her blessed, because she has invested herself into their life and looked after them and taken care of them and taught them with wisdom and kindness, and she has done what she needed to do and what she was supposed to do and done it diligently and done it faithfully, and now her children arise up and call her blessed. They rise up now. They can recognize it. They will rise up later in life and call her blessed. And frankly, I think you even got a doctrinal a truth here that at the rapture, they will rise up in the rapture or the resurrection, as the case may be. And at the judgment seat of Christ, they will give testimony to the blessing that their mother was, and the influence that she was, and the teaching that she gave to them, and the help that she was to them coming to know the Lord themselves, and for them being able to be saved and have the kind of home that this woman had, and all from mother, all right? That's what moms do. That's a mom's ministry, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Though she can't stand in a pulpit and have a teaching ministry to a church, 1 Timothy chapter 2 would forbid that, but she shall be saved in the sense of she's got a super ministry and a tremendous opportunity in simply rearing her children to continue in faith and holiness with sobriety. That's what the Bible says. That's what a mother's opportunity is. She doesn't do it from this pulpit. She does it from her kitchen. She does it from her home. She does it with her children. All righty. And there's lots of us, I'm sure, that can give testimony to the influence that our own mothers have played in us becoming the kind of Christians that we have become. All righty. Her children rise up and call her blessed. All righty. Her husband also. We're talking about her testimony, what others think about her. Her life just speaks for itself, and it shows up in her children. It shows up in her husband. Her husband also, in other words, he rises up and he praises her. every virtuous woman needs to be praised, and she needs it. She doesn't say that she does, but she does, because that's she's human nature. And he gives it to her. And he gives it to her justly, and he gives it to her rightly, and he gives it to her because she ought have it. He's not, as we have noted several times in our study of Proverbs on Wednesday nights, he's not just flattering her, just trying to stoke her ego. That's not the point. That's not the purpose, and that's not the way that he praises her, the reason that he praises her. He praises her because she legitimately deserves it. All right, we're very, very careful with that word deserving. But she has earned what her husband thinks about her. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And he trusts her in his heart. And what a tremendous thing for a man to be able to trust his wife in his heart and do so safely, the Bible says, without that trust being shattered and burned for trusting in her. He can do so safely. And what a blessed thing that is to a man to have a help meet for him. What a blessed thing that is. And her husband praises her. He thinks the world of her. And he literally, physically and humanly speaking at least, has put his life in her hands, and she does him good. And she is what largely humanly is responsible for him, humanly speaking, being the man that he is and the Christian that he is as well, because she indeed is a help like God intended a wife to be. You notice her testimony is a testimony of excellence. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Thou excellest them all. Her testimony is one of excellence. Whatever it is she does, she may not be the best in the world at it, but whatever she does it in an excellent manner. She does it in an excellent way, and it is done right. And that is wonderful, what she does. And that's her testimony. That's her own works that are praising her because of their excellence. They're as good as she can do it. She puts her heart and life into it and gives it the best that she can. She doesn't cut corners. She doesn't hold back. She's not shady. She doesn't halfway do things. She's not sloppy about things. She does things by a standard of excellence, which, by the way, is a Bible standard for whatever we do. In Philippians chapter number 1, you can read it yourself, proving things that are excellent. That's what this woman does. She wants things to be right and excellent. And her testimony is this. Verse 30, favor is deceitful. She's got her dad's, or not her dad's, but her husband's favor, her children's favor, just people in general's favor, but that's all deceitful. That can... We know this in Proverbs. We study a lot of things in Proverbs on Wednesday nights. You ought to join us if you could. A man's praise is a test. And some people can get praise and it'll go to their head, and they get big-headed and proud, and then they just start going the opposite direction. Because pride, a man's pride shall bring him low. We just studied that in chapter 29. A man's pride shall bring him low. And a woman's pride too, by the way. So favor is deceitful. It can make you think more of yourself than you ought to think, even though the Bible says that we need to be careful that we do not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So favor can be deceitful, and beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. I don't mean for this to be unkind in any way, shape, or form, but you know, there's very few. I doubt there's any of you women who look the same way you did when you got married, when you were 18 or 20, or do you? If we used to pull out your wedding picture and look at it 30 or 40 or 50 years later, do you look the same? Is your hair the same color? You don't look the same. Now, that doesn't mean you're no longer beautiful. But our point is, you don't look the same. What you did look like, you don't look like anymore. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But our point is, that's not what makes you what you are. Miss America of 1900, you know what she looks like? Dust and bones. Skeleton in a box in the ground somewhere. Beauty's vain. That's where everybody's headed outside of the rapture. That's not what your life is about. That's not what your testimony is about. That's not how you're measured. That's not how you value. That's not what values your life. It's how beautiful you are. But rather, a woman that feareth the Lord. Not a woman that everybody thinks is the greatest thing since cheese on hamburgers. Not a woman that everybody thinks is the most beautiful thing ever to walk on this planet. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now we've got the answer to everything that this woman is. Why she has the character that she does. Why she's so strong and honorable and kind and wise, diligent. Why is she so much about others? Why her children think so much of her, and why she is such a help to her husband that he praises her. Why her standard is one of excellence is because of her relationship with God. That's the reason why. She's a woman that feareth the Lord. She is a woman that understands the simple truth. There is a God. He's far wiser, more powerful, and greater than any and all of us put together. And she needs to live her life in submission to Him and in agreement with Him, because He can do whatever He wants. And she needs what He can do. And she needs His help. And she needs His favor. And she needs, may we say, His beauty. That's why the psalmist said, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." We need what He is. We need what He can do. We need Him. And we are not the end of all. We're not all-knowing. We're not all-capable and all-powerful. We are literally helpless and ignorant. We need God. And God is the difference. We need God. And the Lord certainly has made it possible for us to have God. God became a human being like us and lived amongst us, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the Bible says. We saw how great God is, and how powerful God is, and how all-knowing God is. We saw it all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His holiness, His perfection. We saw Jesus even dare people, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" And nobody could. They had to hire liars to come in and tell lies about Him just to get Him crucified. But that was all part of God's bigger plan and all of God's wisdom that we certainly could never figure out, so that Christ, as a sinless human being, could take the place of every one of us sinful human beings and suffer everything that we would suffer if we died and went to hell and stayed there forever and ever and ever to pay for our sins. God figured out a way. God didn't figure it out. God knew it from the beginning that He would die for us. And He did. And all of our sin is paid for, and God is so pleased with what Jesus did that He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand, far above all principality and power and every name that is named, to give Him a name which is above every name. And at His name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And this virtuous woman has such a healthy and holy fear of God. She knows, in light of what God has done for her, she needs Him. And in light of what God has done for her, she accepts Him as her own personal Savior. And then when He comes to live in her heart and He forgives her sin and becomes her life and gives her a new heart, she is so grateful for all that He did for her and continues to do for her that she just gives herself to be a help to others, that they too might know the Lord as she does. Her testimony is capped by this simple statement: she feareth the Lord. A woman that feareth the Lord is a virtuous woman, is a valuable woman, a rare, rare thing. That's the reason for all this other stuff. That's what makes all this other stuff so good and so helpful and so influential and so beneficial and so life-changing to so many folks, is because of a relationship with God. Many daughters have done virtue. A lot of folks can do all those things, but not too many folks can be what this woman is. She is virtuous. It's because she has the Lord as her own, and she has a right relationship with Him. All righty? So, a virtuous woman, that's what God's ideal is. That's a goal for every woman. Dear Lord, make me that way. That's what every husband wants. That's what every young man is looking for in his future missus. That's what we want to train our daughters to be, that. You're going to do it against the tide and current of the world. Nobody's going to help you but God and your local New Testament Bible-believing church and this Holy Bible. That's the only thing that's going to help you do that. Television's not going to help you do that. And the world system is not going to help you do that. No government agency is going to help you do that. God and His Bible will help you do that. All righty? Let us pray. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can? I hope, ladies, your husband can say, I did. I hope your children will be able to say, as this woman's children, I found one. Her name is Mom. I hope that one of you children have that opportunity. And I hope every one of you men have that opportunity. Who can find? They're not extinct. They are rare. They can be found. And may every woman in this room be one. Dear Lord, we are very grateful for your work of grace in our hearts. Brother John sang about your amazing grace that saves us and changes our life. Lord, it really, really is. And Lord, that's the only explanation for our life at all, is just your grace. As Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Dear Lord, help us, all of us, not only the women, but us men as well, be what we ought be by thy grace, to have a healthy, holy, proper, personal relationship with thee that orders all the rest of our relationships and actions and works. And dear Lord, may our own works praise us as well. May they speak for themselves that we have served the Lord, been obedient to the Lord, done what we ought to do, and you have blessed. Spirit of God, help us, I pray today, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet, please, heads bowed, eyes are closed. As the ladies play an invitation song, if you need to meet the Lord, would you come this morning? If you need to meet the Lord, would you come? Do you know the Lord as your own personal Savior? If not, let us help you with that. If you do, for sure, know the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord for the help that you need, both as a wife and as a mother? And just as a lady, to be a lady in a world that is trying everything it can do to destroy your femininity, to make you just like a man, to blur the distinction. Boy, you need God's help just to be a lady, an honorable, dignified, strong lady, virtuous woman. You need the Lord's help, you can have it. Appreciate you being here this morning. Let's be dismissed. Word of prayer. Shake hands with each other. Have a good afternoon. Ladies, enjoy your day. Husbands, be very, very nice to them. Take good care of them. Children, take good care of them. All righty? Oh, and do it every day, by the way. Not just today. Do it every day. Let's be dismissed prayer. Remember, service tonight at 7. Be faithful. You'll be glad. We'll have a good meeting tonight. Brother Dennis Lackender, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?